This is the Equip Podcast from Cornerstone Church of Ames, a podcast designed to help you live a gospel-fueled and faithful life wherever Jesus has called you.
Welcome again to the Equip Podcast at Cornerstone Church. My name is Mark Vance. I am joined today by Melissa Pearson. Melissa, we call you Mel around here. Like, do people got Mel, Melissa? Which one is the best?
I just go by both, Mel or Melissa, just whatever floats your boat.
Okay. I'm probably going to end up going with Mel because I love nicknames. I'm a big hyphener and shortener of nicknames. And so let's just go with that. My parents named me Mark. So all my names are one syllable, Mark, Alan, Vance. Well, Alan's too, Vance. It's like all just very punchy. And so anytime I can shorten a name, Melissa is incredibly complicated to say. All right. Glad we've used 45 seconds of the podcast on that. And so actually what we're going to talk about today with Mel Pearson has to do with city ministries at Cornerstone and the sort of work that we as a church do around mercy, compassion, and justice, particularly in our local community. I want to hear some of Mel's story. She's one of the key leaders on staff and in our church in this area of mercy, compassion, and justice. And there's just a ton of work that you might not know about that maybe you're going to hear something here that just triggers your heart and you think, wow, I would love to step toward being involved in that. We'd love to help you. But beyond that, I just want you to get a picture of seeing how God's heart for mercy, compassion, and justice needs to work out as we try to live out those good works that God has prepared for us to do. So Mel, before we dive into city ministry here, I want to hear a little of your story and how you get involved. So let's kind of hear your story, like what's your family like? How'd you come to faith? And then kind of how'd you get involved in city ministry stuff here at Cornerstone?
Yeah. So I grew up in the Ames area, went to Gilbert K through 12. So very, very familiar with Ames, but moved away after high school and came back just 5 years ago. But in that time frame, got married to Brian, who is just God's greatest gift in my life. And we have four kids, Addie, who's 9, Caden, who is 8, Evie, who's 3, and Damari. Nope. Evie is 5 and Damari is 3. They're kind of hard to keep track of sometimes.
I totally get that.
And then we do foster care. So right now we have an extra 5-year-old living with us. And we're also an adoptive family. So those are kind of some things that we're super passionate about. But I say my faith story is I grew up in Gilbert going to a small Lutheran church there, which was just a sweet little church. We learned a lot of, I would say, Bible stories and traditions. But when I was a freshman in high school, I was invited to a youth group at Grand Avenue Baptist Church. And I started going there. And eventually within, I would say probably a year, my whole family actually started attending the church and the youth group there. So I think that's probably when I really understood the depth of the gospel. And I was baptized as a baby, then again at age 16. And that was just a really pivotal time for me. So God sent me off to college, passionate about ministry and Jesus. And I'm really grateful for that. So,
where'd you end up going to college then, Mel?
Oh, over in Iowa City.
Oh, my goodness.
I know.
Oh,
I don't
my goodness.
Share that detail unless it is specifically asked.
Okay, so Iowa State game, who are you rooting for?
Well, I went to a tailgate and I was one of two people wearing black and gold. So, but people, you know, this year especially, I didn't get a lot of chatter about it because I think everybody knew, you know, everybody knew what was going to happen.
That's why. Absolutely. Well, yeah. Let's move on to subjects which will endear more of our listeners to you, Mel. Let's talk about your heart for what we've kind of called different things at Cornerstone. We called it local missions. We recently kind of have renamed that into city ministries, partly because we want the word missions to kind of have the biblically rooted meaning of crossing a cultural barrier to get the gospel to a person from a generally a different ethno-linguistic sort of background than us. But city ministry really has to do with embodying the love of Jesus for people. We're to do good to all men, especially those who are of the household of faith. But that kind of doing good, working for the good of our neighbor, being a faithful presence is something that's really central to what we're trying to be about in our local community. City Ministries embodies a lot of that for Cornerstone. And Mel, for you and Brian, your story is really connected there. And so I want to hear kind of how did you get involved in City Ministries? Was it primarily through foster and adoptive care? How did that start?
Yeah, I would say God grew my heart for kind of compassion and mercy from a young age, because I had someone that was super close to me that I loved very much and still do, that has struggled with mental illness and addiction. And so I just grew up in close proximity with that and kind of feeling the just firsthand the pain that goes with that and the struggle with that. So, you know, because of that story, there were several, you know, there's incarcerations and a lot of other really difficult things. And so as I, you know, I'm living this life, and this is like an everyday, you know, a pretty, this is a big part of my life growing up and even into adulthood. So I would read the Gospels, right? And I would see Jesus go to like the leper and go to the tax collectors. And I would think like, oh, well, that person is like the leper and I should be Jesus to them, right? But I am obviously not Jesus. So as my faith grew and I got a better understanding of the Gospel, the story kind of turned. And at some point, probably in high school, I realized like, oh, actually, I'm the leper in this story. Like God left heaven to come into my brokenness. And this loved one that I'm living life with is like, I just have a little more grace on my life, right, than he does. So it's not necessarily, it just kind of kicked me off of my prideful horse and helped me, it just transformed my heart, I guess. The more I just sit in like how good God has been to me in my life, the more it just tends to overflow, you know, into the people around me. So then I would look at this person and just say like, who am I to not be gracious in this moment? Or who am I to not walk into this painful situation with this person? Because God has done that for me again and again and again. So I have been involved, you know, in incarceration ministries before coming on staff at Cornerstone. And I think that's also what revved up our heart for foster care and adoption, was just this idea that we are, I mean, kind of the same picture, right? That God has pulled us and adopted us into his family, despite our brokenness and our sin. So that's probably kind of the big, I also memorized James 1 in college, which I don't think was a mistake. You know, so it has in there that James 1:27, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So that was ingrained in my head because I had memorized it. So God just kept putting that scripture, you know, back. Wow. Yeah.
I love the picture there, Mel. I think that's so foundational to the posture and the attitude we're trying to have in our community, in our city. We don't go as the good people to the bad people. What we're doing is we're going in the spirit of a beggar who's found bread, telling another beggar where to go find bread. We're going as people who are sinners to people who are sinners to bring the good news grace of Jesus that's come to us to them. And I think that's just absolutely critical, because a lot of times I think in poverty ministry, in mercy ministry, compassion ministry, we go with a, man, thank goodness I have this together to grant to somebody. Almost the attitude of the Pharisee when he says, God, thanks that you didn't make me like other people. Well, actually, the gospel tells us we are other people. That's us. Jesus came to all of us. And so we go there. I think your life embodies that, Mel, but what you share there is so foundational, because if you want to get involved to help people out of a sense of pity, you're not actually approaching it primarily from a biblical perspective. We want to get involved from just this overflow of being the recipients of grace. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about kind of zoomed way out. When we talk about City Ministries at Cornerstone, you've mentioned a couple different areas where you and Brian have been involved: foster care, adoptive care, post-incarceration ministry. But we've talked about having a birth to death concern for image bearers. That mm-hmm. from the moment of conception to the moment we draw our last breath on earth, people made in God's image, we want to treat with mercy, compassion, and justice. And so we highlight 10 areas here at Cornerstone. I'm going to ask you, give us the flyover, name quickly each of the 10, maybe like tell us what it is and then a quick description of what we do. And in all these 10 that we're, Mel and I are going to queue up here, these aren't 10 areas we hope to be involved in. These are, out of all the things we could do working in mercy, compassion, justice, this is where the people of Cornerstone, the resources of Cornerstone are kind of focused right now. So Mel, kind of walk us through the 10 areas that we're focused on here.
Yeah. So the first area is rights of the unborn. So that's abortion related. And we partner with OBRI pretty heavily there. And Mark, you just have a great podcast series on that, which I would recommend everyone to listen to. That was just excellent. So that's the first area. The second area is foster and adoption care. And we have a deep investment in the local families, but also a heart to help kind of beyond our local families of the church. So we have programming that the church does. We have a backpack blessing ministry for foster families. And we're hoping to kind of do a little bit more outreach into foster and adoptive families in the greater community of Ames and not just Cornerstone. So that's something that's kind of in the pipeline. Public schools is area number 3. And we're doing a lot right now. I mean, Mark, I don't know, maybe you want to speak to public schools.
Yeah. I mean, when we talk about public schools, we love this is less of a statement of here's the methodology we think people should use to school their kids. What we're saying is inside of a local community like Ames, often the public school is the first place where a child impacted by poverty who lives with food insecurity, that teacher is going to see them. And so how do we both bless the public school as a whole, but also bring the resources through those channels to help kids who are impacted by poverty and who for no choice of their own are in a situation where they just need someone to come alongside them and care? That's public schools are a great vehicle in communities for that.
Yeah. So in then area 4 is poverty impacted families. So kind of under that umbrella, we have Home for a While, which is a transitional housing program that Cornerstone is a big part of. We do transportation ministries and vehicle repair ministries under that as well. And that's also where our benevolence is. So that's something that my team spends a lot of time just if someone were to reach out to the church with a need, kind of connecting with that person and helping figure out how they can get that need met. Area 5 is racial reconciliation. So we partner with local churches there. 6 is sexual exploitation. So our big partnership there is with Wings of Refuge. 7 is mental health. And so we have kind of under this area, I've started the Cornerstone Counseling Center. Steve Jones has brought that to Ames, which has been a huge blessing to our community. And then area 8 is recovery. So the big thing there is Celebrate Recovery, which is a ministry that we own at Cornerstone that meets weekly. Area 9 is incarceration. And so under that, we support a couple of transitional housing programs for post-incarceration men and women called the Matthew 25 House and Butterfly Freedom House. And then we also were going in a Story County jail doing Bible study that has stopped since COVID, but we're kind of exploring some other creative ways to kind of bless the inmates there and the staff there right now. And then area 10 is the end of life care with dignity. So just partnering with funerals and hospice to make that go as smoothly for our family as we can.
Yeah.
And I would say the other big thing that is worth mentioning with this is all of these areas, you know, we financially give probably in all 10, but really the heart behind City Ministries is that we enter into these relationally. So these aren't just like an idea or a concept. It's like, these are people in a person. And ultimately we want to be matching up, you know, people that fall in these categories with another person that wants to get involved and just see a lot of one-on-one relational connections.
That's so good. I think one of the, Mel, just you sharing is so helpful for people because sometimes you look at the needs of the world. And I think of the words of Jesus where he talks about the poor. He says, the poor are always going to be with you. We live in a broken and sin-cursed world. And so sometimes just overwhelming. You turn on the news and you go, what in the world can we do to help and to bless and to move toward this? And what we've tried to do is say, we can't do everything. But frankly, 10 things, these areas are a ton of things. And so as a local church, we can partner together, do far more than what I could as an individual possibly be invested in. I can't figure out a way to distribute my time to all 10, but I can say I'm part of a community where we collectively are trying to, as the hands and feet of Jesus, to model and to care for people in our community. And so here's what I want to do. I want to ask you a question, and it's not totally off script, but it's a little off script, which is, if you could highlight out of, like, we'll kind of, you and me both, look at our list of 10. If you could highlight one or two, maybe three of those and say, this is something where I just see God at work, whether it's telling a story or just inviting people in to say, this is an area where you could get involved. What would you want to highlight off the list right now for people, Mel?
Mm-hmm. Well, because we, as a family, get to participate in the foster and adoption area quite a bit. I have even just last week, we saw friends adopt twins out of foster care. And they have a really, really great, beautiful story that I think will get told someday, hopefully. But it's just, you just see God work. And I think in all of these ministries, and I just have experienced this firsthand in foster care and incarceration ministries, but there are some periods that are so hard. You know, it's just, you always look back and you see the work that God did. You know, you don't see it every moment along the way, but generally you can look back and just see like God's faithfulness. And so to be able to get to be a part of that is incredible, because I feel like there are so many people that maybe feel hesitant to jump in, you know, and sometimes my heart aches for those friends, because it just feels like, oh, but you're missing out. Like it is hard, but it's so rich. And I feel like I know my faith has grown significantly from entering into, you know, those kind of hard places. And I think most people would experience that same thing. And then the other biggest need, I would say, or area, is just as an ally. So we have voluntary positions called allies, which is just a way to enter in relationally with people in all different places. So it could be for home for a while. It could be benevolence. It could be a foster family. But essentially, it's just someone saying like, "Hey, I want to jump in, and I want to be in proximity to some of these things, and be in relationship with people." So, that's probably, I guess, the biggest. Yeah, the
that biggest thing be. That comes. That might be like a first step. If somebody's like, where do I get involved? You could contact Mel, mpearson@cornerstonelife.com. You can contact any of us and we'd put you in contact with Mel and the team in City Ministries. But that ally position, it doesn't just attach to any one of these 10 areas. I could be an ally for Mercy, Compassion, and Justice in a hospice care center. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, that's such a, as Christians, that's one of those areas I think, Mel, we think of, you know, end of life. Yeah, we try to do a great job with funerals and bless families, all those sorts of things. But that's because for many people, they're scared and afraid of death. But as Christians, we hate death as the enemy, but we also say it's precious in the Lord's sight, the passing of a saint. And so one of the great privileges we have is to come close in those moments at the end of life and to say, we're not afraid because Jesus has given us a hope beyond death. And I think an ally may just be somebody who looks at a family going through a hard time, says, I'm going to cook you meals. You know, it's the simple touches that a person can make. And so our ally position is not just like, here's one thing we do. It's here's ways we enter in with people relationally in the hard spaces of life to bring mercy, compassion, and justice to people. And I think that's just huge as a need. And even I would lift that up in foster care. So Mel and I, we have common passions. This, I grew up in a foster family. I was a, you know, son to my parents, my mom and dad, but we were a foster family, which regularly had kids in our home to come live with us for a period of time and try to help to restore them back to their family. Ultimately, both my brothers were adopted out of that. And so inside of that, what I saw is it's really exhausting sometimes to be a foster family. And a lot of people just aren't even sure what to do to come alongside you. So sometimes allies will be people who even go through and get trained so that they can provide respite care for foster families. There's so many ways to get involved to bless people. I think even just praying right now, I'm praying for Shane Roethlisberger right now because him and Malachi are on a plane going to Africa. We're praying God make their way straight for to go and adopt Jordan. And we love him. And so we're trying to come alongside and get meals. And that's what it looks like. Sometimes we mystify like, oh, I'm going to get involved in this unbelievable work to bring compassion and justice. And most of the time, it just looks like loving somebody right in front of you. Most of the time, it looks like that. Mel, if you lift it up, like, why are you encouraged right now with what you see in the city ministries here at Cornerstone? What are some places of encouragement for you?
Yeah, I'm going to get the opportunity to be able to see members reach out and just say, hey, I have a gift of money and I want to give it to someone in need. And I get to match people, you know, and what an honor to be able to see that happening. And it's just the hugest blessing. So, I think I'm most encouraged now because even in the last week, I've had a few members, you know, just reach out and want to help and want to love a family. And I get to just be kind of an intercessor. So I'm just, yeah, it's just really encouraging to see the church body, stepping up and doing that.
I've been tremendously encouraged too. I want to say this rightly. Cornerstone is a church that predominantly is made up of people who are above the poverty line. That's just the reality to it is if you come out to our facility, just think of, we've talked about this a lot in City Ministries, Mel, there are barriers to people coming to Cornerstone who are impacted by poverty, because one of the key indicators in our community is lack of reliable transportation. Well, you can't walk to Cornerstone. To get here, you have to have a car. So that right there is a barrier of entry to our weekly gatherings as a congregation for many people. And yet seeing like a way a mechanics ministry works to provide solid transportation and then have people who get rides and are picked up by an ally in our congregation to bring them to church, it's been incredibly encouraging to me. Man, I've got emotional multiple times in this podcast to see people that I love who are impacted by poverty, who are part of this church community. Because in Christ, there's not rich or poor. We get to come to him on this beautiful common ground and to see Cornerstone. We're not all that God would have us to be, but becoming more and more a place where people feel like, I don't have to look like them to be part of this community. I think that's just a beautiful picture of the gospel. And that's the sort of thing we want to move toward. I've been super encouraged by that, looking at it. So if someone wants to get involved, Mel, what do you think would be maybe a first step for somebody who would want to get involved in just mercy, compassion, justice for people made in the image of God? How could they get connected with City Ministries at Cornerstone?
So you could just reach out to me and we can have that conversation. I think and just, you know, everyone is just gifted so differently and we need all of those gifts in the church. So it's just fun to sit and hear how people, what they're passionate about, and then to be able to, you know, line that up with the need and make that connection. So,
well, Mel, thanks for spending a little bit of time talking today on the Equip podcast about something that I know you don't just talk about, you live. And so thankful for the example of you and Brian's life, but just the way that you've led out in this. It's interesting. You describe your job as, I have this privilege of watching people take their gifts and use them to serve others. But I have a privilege on staff of watching our staff team take what God's given. And so watching you take what God's given to you and use it to love and serve others, Mel, is a real privilege. I'm really proud of you. Really thankful for you. Thankful for all you do. And thanks for spending some time here. And for all you listening, I just want to make a plea. You heard 10 areas. Everyone can do something. No one can do everything. So what's something that you would do to say, you know what, I just want to be involved in going to the places with people, because you're going to figure out that Jesus is in those places. when you meet people there, he's with the orphan and the widow. He's with the fatherless. And so we don't just go there out of moved by pity. We go there because the joy of joining Jesus and what he loves. And it's been incredible to watch God do that time and time again to meet people there. I want you to get involved. So reach out to Mel, attend an ally meeting, get involved. And I hope just listening in a little bit captures your heart, stirs you to work for mercy, compassion, and justice for people made in God's image. Mel, thanks for the time. Thanks for all you do. Appreciate you.
Yep. Thank you so much.